You have a father, but your father's dead.
Dead.
But your father's dead.
Dead.
What is up, my dudes, and welcome to the Best Things About Pro Wrestling This Month, the show we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, or anything between. This is the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling in any particular month. I'm Herman, the same ones that believes that Hulk Hogan should come out to this song as his new entrance, because that's what everybody feels right now.
Tell me lies.
So yeah, before we start getting to the show, let's get in the the housekeeping out of the way. So follow me on the site formerly known as Twitter at Herman the Player Guy. Follow me on all the social medias. Best things about pro wrestling this month. We post weekly short clips, although that hasn't been, I haven't been doing it in like a few months. And the reason why I'm doing this, and by the way, if my mic sounds a little bit muffled, and it relates to the social media clips and stuff like that, the reason why I haven't been posting it as late is because I've actually been out of town for the past few months. So if the mic quality hasn't been as good as, like, I think back in July, is because I'm not using my external mic. I'm actually using my phone's mic as my external mic instead of my external mic, if that makes any sense, because I'm not home. But, you know, to quote that Brian Zane song, that Megaran song, you know, we got to do it for the content. Am I right? So, yeah, so we got all the housekeeping under the way. Follow me on the site formerly known as Twitter at Herman the Player. I refuse to call that shit X. Follow me on the YouTube at Best Things About Pro Wrestling. TikTok, the same thing. Instagram, the same thing at Best Things About Pro Wrestling. So, yeah, we got all the housekeeping out of the way. And apologies for not mentioning that last month, because I was just so tired and out of time that I just forgot to mention it. So, yeah, there you go. Here's good information, I guess. I don't know why am I having these brain freeze? Man, hit that 5 stars if everyone is having a brain freeze like I do. So, yeah, let's talk about the month of September. Holy crap, a lot of shit happened. The last time we recorded it is probably the last time you saw WWE as an independent company. Now I'm recording this, now they're owned by a multi-billion dollar conglomerate in Endeavor and TKO, which is insane. Not only that, at the start of last month, CM Punk got suspended at All Out because he's just fighting with everybody, I guess, because, you know, motherfucker thinks this shit is Tekken, you know? Motherfucker thinks this shit is arcade mode in Tekken, where he's, or every other fighting game, where he's just fighting everybody. He's getting ready for the next battle for, like, the entire AEW roster. What the fuck is going on? But, yeah, Jack Perry got suspended. What else? Jade Cargill signed with WWE, which is insane, because all of the quote-unquote fanboys, all of the, which, by the way, I'm going to mention this. Isn't it interesting that all of the WWE fanboys all of a sudden think Jade Cargill's a big deal? Because if you asked them about her, like, last year, they'd be like, oh, yeah, she sucks. She can't even wrestle out of a fucking broomstick. But now they're like, oh, shit, that's good sighting, girl. Good sighting, pal. So, yeah. Let's talk about and also obviously the unfortunate mass releases that happen in WWE, but which is why I feel this way. And I'm going to say this. WWE should have not been sold to an Endeavor. And the main reason why I say this is because, number one, they were doing better business than any other time in the company's history. They were doing massive sold out shows, massive crowds, massive engagement. I mean, massive engagement mainly because the pay-per-views are now on the on Peacock, at least on the at least on the US side of things. So yeah, obviously, like the ease of accessibility of the pay-per-views and the shows. So yeah, it makes sense that it's gonna have a higher engagement rate than ever before, but still a success. Nevertheless, they brought back all of the great talents like Bronson Reed, Johnny Gargano, which he has been missing for like a year now, and now he's like back. Congrats. Congrats to Tommaso Ciampa. Not only that, they brought back LA. They got rid of Max Dupree's old name, and now he's LA Knight, which is funny because that is literally the reason why LA Knight is so over right now. You got to think Triple H that. And that is because they got rid of his fucking, that Max Dupree fashion model ass fucking name. So you got to thank him on that. And now, you read the reports of like Vince McMahon, you know, the reason why. The reason why he joins because the company fell on the company's on the neutral side. It's the company has plateaued and he has to, you know, shake things up, pal. And the reason why he's saying this, it's because the company has been successful independently, but the reason why he's saying this is because he hasn't been behind the success. He hasn't been behind the scenes. He hasn't been on the watchful eye of that success. I mean, at least like part of that success. He just wants to be part of that success, and he's just eating up inside knowing that the company is probably better without him. So he's just really, really, really fucking triggered when he saw that. He was like, shit, they're successful and I wasn't the reason why. So I gotta go. So jump into the board of directors, pretty much fire everybody, go into a sale, and now they're sold with Endeavor, the same people that owns UFC. So it is what it is. I don't know what's going to happen with the Endeavor, what's going to happen in the next few months, next year, whatever. I don't know how the business will change. So far, it's still looking like the same old WWE, but we'll see what happens because, you know, a merger and acquisitions and corporate consolidation, I fucking hate this shit. And the reason why I fucking hate this shit is because this thing I'm going to talk about in my next hot news of the week, as I'm calling it now, is the mass releases. And I think people losing their jobs really fucking sucks. That is probably the worst thing about any corporate consolidation or any merger, any acquisitions, because prepare for job cuts and prepare for budget cuts, you know, quote unquote, right? So that is probably the worst thing about Perez. If there's a worst thing about Perez-ing this month, is the budget cuts, is the mass releases and the quote unquote budget cuts, pal. So yeah, people are losing their jobs, but don't fear. Look, these are big WWE talent. I mean, not big though, but they have a recognized, they're talent that has been giving a bigger stage, which means they're probably going to thrive extremely well. They probably have a fan base, so they're probably going to eat good. I think the independent wrestling scene is, I wouldn't say as hot as ever been, but you can make a shit ton of money on the independent scene thanks to the internet, thanks to the age of the internet that we have right now. So shout out to them, because they're going to do better, the mass release talent, and I have a faith that they will do better, especially guys like Dolph Ziggler. So, but I got to say this. There is one positive thing about the WWE mass release, and that is the release of Matt Riddle, because fuck him.
Bye-bye, bitch.
Anyways, talk about a guy that like had a huge ceiling and just fucked over that ceiling because of external fucking factors, like accused of his sexual harassment accusation back in the Speaking Out movement that WWE seemingly didn't do shit about it. Not only that, but like also like apparently there was a story where like he told that like the police like inappropriately touched him and shit, which I mean, look, fuck the police, okay? But this is one of the rare situations, and Matt Riddle is such a shitty human being that he made me side with the fucking police. You know, you have to be a shitty fucking person and say, you know what? I hope this motherfucker gets locked up, to quote Akon. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, you have to be a shitty person to be siding with literally the worst entity out of all of the, in the U.S. right now. fucking insane. But yeah. Now, speaking with the Endeavor, TKO, WWE. Now, because they have, you know, bought the company that has a shit ton of history, decades and decades and decades of history, you would think that they might make some signings, some acquisitions, at least on the talent side. One of them is obviously Jade Cargill, which, by the way, rumors have been around that she's apparently going to Monday Night Raw. Not a big fan of that idea, especially, oh my god, Jade Cargill versus Nia Jax. Look, I like Jade Cargill, but I don't think she could have, she could pull off a fucking match with Nia, unless they surprise me. But yeah, that is a nightmare waiting to happen, because none of these two performers are in ring generals, so it screams Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg from like 2004. The difference is get the I'm gonna be out of the company in like I'm gonna be out of the company after this match. What I'm trying to say is the match is gonna be shit. That's all I'm gonna say. Two big guys and gals. I call women guys for some reason, but it is what it is. Two big people wrestling each other out. The difference is that they're not leaving after a singular match. It's just that the difference is they're gonna leave. We're gonna leave. My bad. We're gonna leave because this match is gonna be awful. So I don't even want to think about it. Another possible acquisition, speaking of Jade Cargill, that could happen, especially considering that we're on Survivor Series. You know, Survivor Series Eve or Survivor Series. We're on the Eid. We're on the eve of Survivor Series because it's next month. I don't know why I said the Muslim holiday. I don't know what's wrong with me. Hit that 5-star if you just put in random religious holidays in front of, you know, wrestling weekends, I guess, or in route to like the next pay-per-view. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Hit that 5-star. Anyways, the other acquisition that I would say that's like a 30% that's going to happen is probably CM Punk. CM Punk and whether he's going to show up at Survivor Series. And yeah, the main question is, and I should have structured this. So, will CM Punk show up at Survivor Series considering that it is in his home turf in Chicago, Illinois? The answer is, I'll give it a 30% chance. And that is the highest. The highest, the highest, the highest, the highest. And the reason why I say this is because, look, I mean, there was a rumor that I read that, like, apparently he was gonna go to WWE as early as, like, last year. He was gonna feud with Kevin Owens. He was gonna show up back at the Royal Rumble and feud with Kevin Owens. In hindsight, I think that was a good decision because that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, that bloodline storyline was at an all-time high fever. So, I think not going over that idea made kind of sense. Also, that would never happen because if you know the history of Kevin Owens and CM Punk, you know that Kevin Owens hated this guy. So I don't think it's going to happen. Or maybe they will, you know. At the end of the day, there's a reason why they're called professional wrestlers. You know, the professional is in the name. So it is what it is. So they're going to work with him as long as they're going to make them a shit ton of money. So, you know, they're going to put that differences on the sign. They could, like, work together, right? But also at the same time, the fact that he's going to come back, he's going to have a target on his back. You know, you hear that saying in WWE a lot, especially when they just won a championship or two. They have a target on their back. He has a real-life target on his back because he is not well-liked. You know, depending on who you are, you either like this guy or you don't. And I don't know if the locker room is going to like the guy or not. We'll see what happens. So, I don't know, man. This motherfucker is doing a get ready for the next battle on the entire AEW roster, it seems. So it's possibility he's going to do that with WWE. And that is the key word, if he's going to be signed with the company. Because, like I said earlier, it's a 30% fucking chance that he's going to show up to that company. Like 30. Maybe 35%. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen beyond that. So, yeah. Will CM Punk show up at Survivor Series, considering that it is in his hometown? The answer is 35%, yes. Yeah, that's like my thoughts on the entire CM Punk, whether he signs with the company or not. I mean, also at best, you could also see CM Punk show up at the Royal Rumble. That's another possibility as well. So, yeah, I do think maybe that's another possibility. Maybe after WrestleMania. Because, look, we're under a new management, you know, quote-unquote newer management. So, you know, they'll put the differences on the side. I mean, Shawn Michaels said that he had a great relationship with CM Punk. He'd love to bring him in down under in NXT, which, by the way, NXT as of late, bro, the Heartbreak Kid is making my heart feel, because my fucking goodness, NXT has been a very good show. And the ratings have shown, like, they're getting increase in ratings, television ratings, than ever before. I think since October of 2020. So congrats to them. And the main reason why is because NXT, it's not the black and gold, but it's slowly carving away its own identity. I mean, it has been for the past year and a half or 2 years at this point. But I do think because they're craving their own identity, it's making the shows a little bit better. Because, like, majority of the people who signed were, like, the top names all started in WWE. Tiffany Stratton, the Creed brothers, I mean, so on. Those are the names that I'm thinking on top of my head that I do think of. I'm not even main roster bound, not even only main roster bound. I think they're also great talent down under, especially Tiffany Stratton. My fucking goodness. She literally is. What if Kelly was, like, good from day one? And look, in my popular opinion, I like Kelly. Hey, but, like, she got better over time, but she is, what if Kelly was good from day one? I know, am I comparing two blonde white women? I know, that's kind of problematic. I'm sorry for the reverse racism. Please, if you don't want to hit the 5 stars for my reverse racism, my apologies, man. You know, shit. Anyways, yeah, NXT has been doing extremely well. What was I saying? Yeah, see, again, that brain freeze that happened. Oh, yeah, NXT, the ratings. It's been doing great so far, and I do think with that rating, with the big ratings that I've been getting as of late, I do think maybe CM Punk should show up, considering that Shawn Michaels said it in the media call, and, you know, he doesn't mind working with CM Punk. So I think CM Punk being on NXT will be great, but, like, considering that these are corporations that they want to make some budget cuts, pal, I don't think he's going to make millions of dollars working in NXT. I think he's going to go to the main roster. That is the best. That is not only the best scenario, but that is the most likely scenario. If, and I, like I said earlier, 30% chance he's signing with the company. There is a chance, but not a big fucking chance. You feel me? So yeah, it is what it is. I don't think he's going to make main roster money down on NXT unless your name is Baron Corbin or Becky Lynch. But even then, they're going to be there for, like, a short amount of time. So it is what it is. Oh yeah, I forgot the thing that happened on September. John Cena and The Rock showed up on episodes of television on SmackDown. Rock was one episode. John Cena was, like, multiple. And the reason why, it's because of the writer's strike and the acting strike. To be fair, the writing strike has been already resolved, so they're already back to work. I just read an article in Variety magazine that, like, the AMPTP, the representative behind the Hollywood studios and these SAG-AFTRA reactors union, they're already on conversation. They're already on negotiations. So they're going to talk. And I think that the acting strike is going to end as soon as, like, maybe next week. So, you know, so cherish the moment with John Cena, because it's not going to last for at least after Fastlane. So whatever you're enjoying that John Cena return and his run so far, you better cherish it, because it's going to end very, very soon, considering that the strike is going to end at least on the acting side. So, yeah, that's also what happened on September. Yeah, a lot of things happened on September. Oh, yeah, NXT No Mercy was a great fucking show. Two great main event matches. Wrestle Dream was also a great show, although that is more of an October show. Which, quick thoughts on Wrestle Dream. Probably the best AEW show since All Out 2020. All Out 2021, in my opinion, is still their best AEW show ever. I mean, look, Adam Cole debut, Bryan Danielson's debut, the great steel cage match between the Lucha Brothers and the Jackson Brothers, aka the Young Bucks, and the return of a 7-year wrestling hiatus in CM Punk with Darby Allin. So, like, I mean, that was, I mean, that, that in and of itself is like a fantastic show. That is a, oh yeah, Kenny Omega and Christian Cage had a pretty good match. Like, come on, that is like, come on, that is, All Out 2021 is a good show because of all these factors. But yeah, Wrestle Dream became a close second. So yeah, that was a great show, but we will be talking about on next month. So stay tuned for that. Hit that 5 stars you want to hear me rambling on, you know, the technical abilities of Bryan Danielson and Zack Sabre Jr. And not only Zack Sabre Jr., but also Eddie Kingston had a fantastic match as well. So yeah, next month, stay tuned. Hit that 5 star if you want to see more of this. Let's talk about the honorable mentions, right? Because that is the meat and potatoes of this show. And like I said, the first honorable mention is Matt Riddle releasing from WWE, because that was honestly his fault. I mean, if he just stayed out of trouble, he would have still been here, but here we are, a piece of shit, just on the fucking platform, and now he's out of the platform. So, do I think he's going to sign AEW? Fuck no. Impact, a close maybe, but even an Impact, they're going to get rid of him. I don't think Impact is a possibility. New Japan is probably a maybe, is a close maybe, but AEW, fuck no. Impact Wrestling, fuck no. And ROH is owned by AEW, so yeah, scratch that. I think he's probably gonna work indies. He's gonna pull a Matt Cardona. He's you know where he's gonna go. Matt Riddle. I think Matt Riddle is gonna go to the NWA, because the NWA is shit and Matt Riddle is shit, and that is what makes them both shit. It's gonna make a shitty fucking product. That's the closest place Matt Riddle would ever be on a main roster, on a main success television platform that he's gonna be, which is on fucking YouTube, which is wild. I'm getting more views on their fucking videos on my shorts and my TikTok clips than they have their entire episodes of television, which is fucking insane. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm saying this, at least on the shorts clip side of things. So that's fucking nuts. So yeah, that's where probably, oh yeah, an honorable mention number two, Dominic Mysterio versus Dragon Lee for the North American title on the September 25th episode of Monday Night Raw. That was a fantastic match. I'm recording this after the episode of NXT where Trick Williams got whooped by the Judgment Day, which led him to lose the NA title in less than 2 days. So they basically half potatoed the title, which made me think of Mustafa Ali's fate. You know, because I feel like he was going to win. Reports said he was going to win the title. So I'm pretty sure they're going to get the title back. So that was probably his fucking fate. So it is what it is. Man, this, speaking of Mustafa Ali, man, this fucking dude, man, worst luck on the planet. He got injured in 2019 that led him to be out of the WWE Chamber match in 2019, Elimination Chamber match for the title, for the WWE title. He was going to win Money in the Bank that same year, but they had to change last minute for Brock Lesnar. Then he was going to fucking win this title, the North American title, but now he was released. So talk about who's putting some voodoo on this motherfucker? Who's going to voodoo you, voodoo bitch on this motherfucker, man? Like, that's crazy. Talk about the worst luck in the history of Lux, you know what I mean? Insane. But yeah, Dominic Mysterio won the title back, which he should be happy because he got the shaboing boing that he wanted. Hit that 5 star for that cringy way of me saying sex with Rhea Ripley. So yeah, he won the title. So congrats to them, I guess. Great match. I mean, look, say what you want with Dominic. Like I said a few months ago, he's actually getting better, and he's actually doing well. Is it because of the heel, because of the chance he's getting and the heel heat he's getting? Probably, but I do think that's what makes him great, and I think he's doing probably the best work of his career, and I think him turning heel was probably the best thing about his run. And speaking of heel turns, my last honorable mention is Drew McIntyre. And is he gonna be a heel? Is he not gonna be a? The answer is yes. He's gonna be a heel. Come on, like Drew McIntyre as a babyface has been getting stale. Isn't kind of wild that like whenever a babyface gets stale, it's always turn this guy heel. Oh, this babyface is getting stale. Turn this guy heel. It's always the easy and the most creative, easy route to do is just turn this man heel. And sometimes it does get repetitive. Not sometimes, most times it gets repetitive. But in Drew McIntyre's case, I think it makes sense. You got to turn this guy heel. I think it makes sense. He hasn't been a heel in almost 5 years. So just turn this guy heel. I think 3.5, 4. Yeah, almost like 5 years now. 3.5, 4, 5 years. Same fucking shit. Don't even remind me of that era of television. Because that era of television, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, more so Monday Night Raw, was god awful. God awful. Terrible. So yeah. But yeah, I think Drew McIntyre is good at turn heel. Or he is already a heel soon enough. So it is what it is. He's going to be a heel. You know, I think the characters know how to make engaging, relatable baby faces that people can attract to. LA Knight is an exception, but I do think, and their only solution for a while was just turning them heel. But I feel like in this case, I mean, a great example of that is Bayley. But I do think Drew McIntyre is an exception, because I do think he needs a little bit of that heely turn, right? So yeah, let's talk about the three best things about pro wrestling in the month of Earth, Wind, and Fire. So the best thing about pro wrestling this month is, of course, look, I can't avoid this. I cannot dodge and avoid this. And that is Chad Gable. Chad Gable versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship that main evented the 4th September episode of Monday Night Raw. Yeah, just last month. Bro, what a match. This match ruled harder than the Umayyad Caliphate, bro. Like, it's fucking good. And the reason being, it's because Chad Gable has always been a talent that has been severely underutilized. And the fact that WWE is trying to utilize him a little bit better, I think it's great. Gunther is on a massive run with the IC title. He's literally the longest reigning IC title. The longest reigning IC champion of all time. I think it's great. I've said on previous shows that, you know, he should keep the title, and he did. So I think what's next for him is probably, I do think he's probably going to lose it to Chad Gable on the probably soon. I think they could restart that match again, probably at the Royal Rumble or Survivor Series. We'll see what happens. But yeah, speaking of which, he had a great match at Tommaso Ciampa, which led to the return of Johnny Gargano. Great fucking match. Gunther's on a roll, and I think this matches like this prove it. I think this is probably one of the best matches of the year. If we're talking best TV matches of the year, it's probably in the top fucking three. It's that good. It is that good. Talent, both talented guys just kicking ass, and I think it's awesome. And what made this match so great is because they were both on the equal. Like, it wasn't like where, what, it was like 80-20% or 80 or like of 60-40%. It was like both were like at a 50-50, or like they were on an equal level, basically. It wasn't like a power imbalance between like the both wrestlers. I think they both, but especially Gable, proved that he is the quote-unquote next successor to Kurt Angle. Because why the fuck are you bringing an alleged rapist, okay, in Gabe Stevenson if you just want to bring, if you have the quote-unquote successor of Kurt Angle in Chad Gable? I don't get it. Like, he's charismatic. He can talk. The dude can fucking wrestle his ass off. Just like Kurt Angle was. So, push that guy instead. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So, it is what it is. Fuck Gabe Stevenson, by the way. If you don't know the story, basically, he was accused. Basically, just look it up. Just Google Gabe Stevenson allegations, or Gabe Stevenson. Just Google this guy, or go to his Wikipedia. Just you go out there and find out. Because if you read the news, you'd be like, "Fuck that guy!" Right? So I don't know why I went on that tangent, but yeah, from fuck this Olympic wrestler, but praise the other Olympic wrestler in Chad Gable. So it is what it is. If there was a just full world, I think we got to give Chad Gable should be the gold medal Olympian than Gabe Stevenson, but that's just me. It is what it is. Let's talk about other thing that we liked about pro wrestling in the month of September is AEW's women's division has been like a 50-50. It's always good. It's always bad. There's always a sign that's like, it's getting better. And then, no, it's bad again. Oh, it's good. Getting bad again. Good, bad, good, bad. Now we're on the good phase of like, oh, the division is getting a little bit better. But then, who knows, in like 2 weeks, it's going to be god-awful again. And I think one of the reasons why the division has been good is because of Toni Storm's new character work. I think his portrait of the star, I think her in like 1930s, you know, British accent, which is funny because she's Australian and she nails that accent perfect. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Australians are basically South Britain, basically. They're basically, what if Britain was like the South, basically, right? American South, as I should say. I think she's doing probably the best character work in AEW right now. That with Christian Cage and MJF right now. I think those three people are goated right now. And look, unlike the people who aren't doing as well, all three of them have good father figures. Think about that. Think about that. Anyways, so look, Toni Storm doing amazing work, doing the best work ever. And I think the reason why is because she finally gets to be kind of herself. And I think that's what makes AEW such a good platform, is that the era of improvisation, the doing improv is like great. The area of doing improv in professional wrestling, especially in an AEW setting, the chances of just being yourself is just like a greater distance, or just great. The percentage is high. With WWE, you just have to follow a script. But with AEW, it's like just be, do what you do, follow those guidelines, or just do what you gotta do. Like an improv class. Speaking of the women, the final best things about pro wrestling in the month of September is in a show that I would not be expecting to talk about, which is NXT, like I mentioned earlier. You know, let me tell you something, man. By the way, I'm talking about Becky Lynch versus Tiffany Stratton for the women's title on the September 15th episode of NXT. I'm telling you right now. You know that meme that you saw on, like, on the site formerly known as Twitter? You know, the best booker, Wrestling Observer Newsletter presents best booker of the year, Shawn Michaels. I'm telling you right now, that is 100. That meme is funny because it's fucking true. I don't know what he's trying to do. He may be the heartbreak kid, but he's making our hearts feel. You feel me? Because NXT is a fantastic. It's so good. Not only so good, but the ratings have shown. It's shown in the ratings. Like, they've had the highest TV ratings since October of 2020. That was 3.5 years ago. Not 3.5, 3 years ago. That's wild. Like, who would have thought? And it's because of Shawn Michaels. You know what I mean? Best booker of the year. Best booker of the year, indeed. Not Tony Khan. Shawn Michaels, indeed. And one of the main reasons why is this match itself. I'm telling you right now, Becky Lynch, this is exactly where Becky Lynch should be, in my opinion, because I feel like on the main roster, ever since she had a pretty boring feud, pretty lackluster feud that ended pretty spectacular with Trish Stratus. That was a very good... That steel cage match of Payback had no business being this fucking good. But anyways, ever since she left the NXT to the main roster, now went to NXT feuding with Tiffany Stratton, they kind of teased it on an episode of Monday Night Raw, and now it's on NXT. It was a very, very good match. You know, like I said earlier, Tiffany Stratton is if Kelly was good day one. Yes, I'm comparing two blonde women. Apologies for the reverse racism earlier, but it is what it is. Yeah. And even their follow-up match for the Extreme Rules match at NXT No Mercy was even better, in my opinion. I love that match too, which we will be talking about on October. Depending on where you live, it's probably a September match. A match that happened on September or happened in October. Personally, where I live, it's an October match. But, you know, I'm just going to talk about it both at once because they're both great. You know what I mean? Both fantastic matches. And I think it's just a great match because Becky Lynch is that fucking good. And Tiffany Stratton is fucking good. Now, do I think she's main roster ready? Probably. I could see Tiffany Stratton being main roster ready. I could see maybe in a few years down the line, she could be, you know, She maybe in the years prior, the next down the line, we might be feeling like the way people feel about Charlotte Flair is like, I cannot stand this person, but she's really good. You know what I mean? And look, here's the thing about Charlotte Flair. Look, we can't stand her being on television. I mean, look, she basically has Charlotte Flair in the bank, as Solomon would say, in the sense of like she would cash in every match she's in. It's always for a championship. But look. But to be honest, she's also extremely good in the ring. So I got to give him some props. Very good in the ring. I just feel like the problem is just her booking. Like, they just put her in spots where, like, she shouldn't be. I feel like she just shouldn't be as a character. I feel like she would, at this point, she could be in, I feel like Charlotte Flair would have been perfect in NXT right now. Just having great matches, putting people over, instead of, like, fulfilling her father's legacy of being, like, 16-time, or actually, if you want to be,
Yes, actually, it's a 21 time.
Yeah, I know. I know, you fucking nerds. It's 21 times, I know. You know, but 16 time. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if Charlotte Flair should have been in that spot. You know, have to fill it. It doesn't look. She's like a 14. Look, it feels like she's been a champion for like a million times. I'm like, just stop it at 13, maybe. I don't fucking know. So, but yeah, that's how I feel about Charlotte. Great wrestler, just booked horrendously by Vince McMahon over the years. And but yeah, regarding you know, the Becky Lynch and Tiffany Stratton match, I thought it was great. Their Extreme Rules match in No Mercy a few weeks later is even better. And I think these, and I think also by the way, speaking of the ratings and the match itself, it actually got a booster in the rating, because I think they had an overtime, according to Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics on Pro Wrestling. This match had an average of, like, I think a million viewers, which is insane, in the 1849 demo. Bro. You remember that meme I told you earlier? Wrestling Observer Newsletter, best booker of the year, Shawn Michaels? Bro. Shawn Michaels is cooking. I'm telling you right now. And with NXT, bro, NXT this week, I'm telling you right now, they're fighting. This is an Avengers Endgame level thriller, which is like, you know, the Avengers would be like, I don't know, AEW or like W. It's just both teams just like fighting, both, you know, shows fighting against each other. Like, I would not be surprised if they had an impromptu match between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker and just call it last time. Oh, hell, put a triple threat match. Bring back Triple H. I don't know. Bring Triple H back from retirement. Just call it last. I guarantee you, maybe, I don't know, guaranteed last time ever. That's probably gonna be the agenda for the match, because I'm telling you right now, they're bringing John Cena in as Carmelo Hayes as his side guy, basically. I don't know what to call it. Like, just motherfucker is just gonna be beside him basically in a match. Then you have Cody Rhodes having an announcement. He's gonna have an announcement on NXT. I think this is his second time in NXT, or the first time. I'm not so sure. Maybe he was there doing Star. I don't know, man. It's been. Oh yeah, he was there in NXT Takeover, right? Yeah, he was on NXT Takeover. He was presenting the first ever Dusty Tag Team Classic with Finn Balor and Samoa Joe when they teamed up, and then that ended up having. Then they ended up feuding. By the way, that was a fantastic feud, man. NXT Black and Gold was so good. And I feel like this era of NXT is actually getting so good right now. And that's because Shawn Michaels, like I said earlier, I cannot state enough. This man is cooking, man. Best booker of the fucking year, indeed. Shawn Michaels. Heartbreak Kid is making our hearts filled. Because I'm telling you right now, NXT is probably slowly becoming one of the best shows. Other than Collision. Collision's still number one. But NXT is becoming a close second. And that's because of Shawn Michaels, man. And it's matches like this is why I want to see it happen. I want to see more matches like this, more storylines like this. Oh yeah, not only Tiffany Stratton, Carmelo Hayes, the Creed brothers. Come on, man. They're going to be the tag team to talk about. If we talk about best tag team of the 2020s, Gun Club is up there. I mean, FTR is up there, obviously, but then we got to talk about the Creed brothers, man. When they go to the main roster, they're going to be a multi-time world tag team champion, or like a tag team. They're going to be, I'm telling you right now, can you imagine them few years down the line in New Japan, IWGP Tag Team Champion, they go to AEW, AEW World Tag Team Champion, ROH, I mean, same company, ROH Tag Team Champion. Bro, you guys don't want to see it? Come on, guys, come on. Hit that 5 stars if you want to see that match. If you want to see Creed Brothers just beating motherfuckers up in New Japan, in the Indies, in AEW down the line. But I do think they're going to be in WWE bound for life. But it is what it is. I am so high on... I'm high above the Creed Brothers, you know what I mean? But yeah, this is... I can't say much. I've talked 10 minutes about how NXT is probably their best show. And so yeah, this is... So that's the show, guys. I don't know, like September is an insane month. Probably the most busiest month ever since January. You remember when I said on January, like it was like a whole year of news filled into one? September was it, you know what I mean? And so far, and especially with the sale right now, the mergers and acquisitions, it's, I don't like it. I think it sucks, and the main reason why it sucks is people are going to lose their jobs, because that's where mergers happen. Like, you can't have two marketing departments to get rid of one of them, because again, this is what happens when you have mergers. I don't get mergers and acquisitions. Like, that shit is fucking annoying, because people are going to lose their jobs, talented people, but except Matt Riddle, because he can go fuck himself, because, you know, that was his fault. Like, I'm terrible right now. As soon as the news of him accusing that police officer of, like, basically sexually harassing him, I was like, yo, this is over. They're going to get rid of this guy. And I was like, nope. Look, we'll excuse your fucking accusations, but this now, man, you fuck with cops now, man. We don't fuck with that shit. So, but yeah, September is an insane month, probably the most insane month ever. A friend of mine just told me that I probably need like a few more parts. That's how I would need probably like a two-parter, basically. That's how big it was, man. I could literally pull a Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, Breaking Dawn Part 2, but instead it's Best Things About Pro Wrestling September Part 1, Best Things About Pro Wrestling September Part 2. Hopefully by October it's not going to be as bad, and hopefully by October I might have a guest on. By the way, the Seahawk guest, he was such a cool dude. So the goal for this podcast, at least for next year, is I want to have more Twitter personalities. Most folks have more Twitter, like social media, more personalities than like journal. I want to have journalists, but like I feel like I want to have more, you know, Twitter, you know, for the site formerly known as Twitter, like more social media personalities. So I want to have more of that, and I want to keep aiming high, you know, God willing, inshallah, for next year. So yeah. That is it for the month of September. I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you did, please don't give me 3. I need 5 to quote Biggie Langston's theme song. And you better hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Follow me on Twitter, on the site formerly known as Twitter, @HomerThePlayerGuy. Follow me on the social medias that we post weekly podcast clips. We're going to post the first ever podcast clip for the month of October. I've been missing the past few months because, like I said, I've been traveling. So I'm currently out of town. So that's why I'm recording on my phone's mic instead of my other mic. So it is what it is. But yeah, I got to do it for the content. The content never stops. So yeah, follow me on the social medias. We post like weekly two clips on Wednesday and Thursday. So make sure you saw it. Maybe I might post some memes, some quick meme clips here and there that I do sometimes, which does pretty good numbers. So I'm going to do more of that. And yeah, hopefully by next year, I might make some original content on one of these social media platforms, on the short form content. I want to do original stuff, not just podcast clips, on top of podcast clips, right? So yeah, that's the goal. Yeah, that's it. Other than that, you know, I don't know how to end this other than... We the fuck out.